Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
A lot of folks blame the devil for everything. I blame me for most of my troubles. I'm amazed at some of the voices I'll go running to. And what I need to do is just stay where I am till I recognize my shepherd's voice.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Hope you got your Bibles tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. Of all the Gospels, I'm going to say maybe the Gospel of Luke is my favorite of the four Gospels. I love to read after the writings of Dr. Luke. I'm thankful for how God, as He moved on the hearts of these men to give us His inspired Word, that He used the personalities and the strong points of these men. And as you read after Luke, you see how God used him, and no doubt the background he had in the medical field. Most who are in the medical field, doctors and nurses and those that work in that field, they are detail-sensitive people. They have to be. They have to take notice of the small things that a lot of folks would miss. And boy, I love the writing of Dr. Luke, how the Holy Spirit used his personality. And boy, Luke really relates to those things that really demonstrate the God-man to us all through the writings of the Gospel of Luke. He presents Jesus to us in his humanity. Of course, it's in Luke's Gospel that we find such detail about his birth, about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And then those boyhood years that seem to be silent years that we don't know a lot about, but Luke brings us the Lord Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. And I found it amazing how in the book of Luke, in the record of the birth of Jesus, everybody was looking for him. Amen. Everybody was looking for him when he was a baby, man. The wise men came looking for him. The shepherds came looking for him. Everybody, Herod was looking for him. Everybody was looking for him when he was a baby. But then when he was a 12-year-old boy, and Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and whenever they left out of Jerusalem, the Word of God said they assumed that he was there with them, but little did they know he wasn't there with them. And I thought, boy, isn't that just like men? We go from looking for him to we lose him and don't even know he's gone. Amen. And they had traveled, boy, that journey, and this one assumed that he was there, and that and assumed that he was there. And I'm going to tell you what, you better not just assume he's there, you better know he's there. Amen. And we live in a day that they're famous for some slogans that don't really make a lot of sense. People often say, man, when you don't know what to do, just do something. That's crazy. Amen. If you don't know what to do, you better not do nothing till you know what to do. Amen. So as a baby, they lost him, or as they looked for him. As a boy, they lost him. But then as Luke gives us that public ministry of the Lord Jesus, and he wasn't only all man, but he was all God. He was the God-man. And we find in the ministry of Jesus how he was so in the details, how the Lord Jesus was so always in control, and how he always had just the right word for whoever was there in front of him at that time. And beginning in Luke chapter 6, going all the way through the next several chapters, and in the preaching of the Lord Jesus, we really find the parable preaching of the Lord Jesus. We find in his messages to men and women how he was the prince of parable preaching. Now, what is a parable? Well, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a message that'll get down on the level you are. A good friend of mine at home says the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the Word of God, he does it just like a good storekeeper, amen. He puts the best cookies down on the bottom shelf where everybody can get a cookie, amen. And in the writings of Luke, it's almost like with all of his knowledge and wisdom he had as a doctor, he chose to really focus on the parable preachings of the Lord Jesus. And beginning with that first parable that you find in Luke chapter 6, that parable of that house that's built on the rock. And boy, the Lord Jesus had those there, no doubt, in front of him who had very weak lives. They were building their lives on all the weak things, on the sand that when the hard times and the storms came were going to wash them away. And Jesus gave them a great story about building a house. Why? Because Jesus is the answer for weak lives. Amen. Oh yes, tonight you'll discover with the Lord Jesus, it's in our weakness that we find His strength. So he had a great parable for those who were in weak lives. And then you got to Luke chapter 10 as he just began to continue preaching those parable messages. And in Luke chapter 10, you find that parable of the Good Samaritan where it talked about there was a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. In other words, he was going from the house of God down to a cursed place. And anytime you're going from where God is to where the world is, you're always going down. And it said that he fell among thieves. In other words, he wasn't expecting this to happen. And I'm going to tell you, nobody's ever expecting a fall, but that's just part of life. Sometimes you fall. And in this parable, the Lord Jesus, he showed what the law would do. The law couldn't do him any good while he was laying there half dead, bleeding out. He showed what religion would do. Religion wouldn't even come over on the side of the road to him. But oh, then he showed what the Good Samaritan would do. When a man who was half dead, what he couldn't do for himself, there was one that came to where he was and, boy, took care of him. And what's that tell me, Brother Steve? Well, that tells me if the parable of the house built on the rock said Jesus is the answer for weak lives, no doubt the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is the answer for wounded lives. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Woo! When the world had left you gut shot and laying in a ditch, said it's all over for you, Jesus said, oh no. We just getting started, amen. Jesus is the answer for wounded lives. And then here in Luke chapter number 15, my favorite chapter out of all the parables. And if you found your way there, I know Brother Skeet Allen's already found his way there. He loves Luke chapter 15. Me and him's talked about it. Brother Skeet said, Brother Steve, that's describing my life right there. Luke chapter 15. You see, in Luke chapter 15, it's a parable about lost things. And I appreciate Brother David tonight being sensitive as the Holy Spirit gave him words. He made mention a while ago. I'm afraid sometimes we forget just how lost we were when Jesus found us. And I pray tonight we'll take a fresh look at Luke chapter 15, and maybe we'll be called to remembrance. Maybe our memory will be stirred up in just how lost we were when He found us. Boy, these three parables that we find about lost things. And for time's sake, I just want to read three verses of Luke chapter 15 and verse number 6. Now, let's go back. Let me back up a minute. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. See, they hated Jesus because he would sit down with them folks that didn't nobody else want to sit down with. Ought to be a sign on the front of every sanctuary leading into it, sinners welcome here, amen. So what's wrong with our Baptist churches? We got to thinking we smell good and everybody else stinks. But the fact of the matter is, the only thing good about any of us tonight is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us tonight. Sinners are welcome here. So if you came in here tonight and you're thinking, Brother Steve, I'm a little nervous since I'm here, the roof might fall in. I promise you, if it's going to fall in cause of sinners, it had done fell in a long time ago. Amen. We own good ground tonight to get a word for sinners. So here Jesus is. He's sitting down with these unwanted, boy, these who are in such a mess. And he begins to preach these parables to them. Luke chapter 15, verse number 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now go to verse number 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Now go with me to verse 24, if you will. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, if Luke chapter number 6 was a parable that Jesus is the answer for weak lives, and if Luke chapter 10 was a parable that Jesus is the answer for wounded lives, might I say tonight that Luke chapter number 15 is three parables about lost things, and I've got good news for you tonight. Jesus is the answer for wasted lives. Amen. Oh, yes, he is the answer for wasted lives. Think about just how wasted you were when he found you. In these three parables, there's three things I see. I wonder which one is me. These three things I see, I wonder which one is me. But let me just fess up tonight. I believe I see me in all of these things. In these three parables, we find three things mentioned. In verses 3 through 7, the first parable, it's the parable of the lost sheep. Brother Steve, you see yourself as a sheep? Well, I don't guess I really did until I did some study on sheep, and I found out something about a sheep. It's an animal that has three characteristics that stand out in its life. Let me say first thing about a sheep, it's a dumb animal. Let me say the second thing about a sheep, it's an animal that's easily distracted. And the third thing about a sheep, it has no sense of direction. When a sheep gets away from his shepherd, he has no idea how to get back to his shepherd. He is totally dependent on the shepherd coming and finding him. So we see a sheep in these lost things, but we not only see that, we see a coin in these lost things. Verse 8 through 10, it's the parable of the lost coin, where a woman has 10 pieces of silver and she loses one piece of the silver, or she loses a coin. So I think about a coin, and where you may see yourself in that, well, don't miss what a coin is. Its purpose is to be used or circulated in the kingdom that it's found in. It has the image of its king stamped on it. When a coin is lost, it's useless because it's out of circulation. Oftentimes, when a coin's lost, it gets lost in the rubbish of this world. And so as it's taken out of circulation, it's not being used for what it was originally stamped out to be used for. Can I get a witness? Amen. So we've got a sheep and we've got a coin, and then in verses 12 down through verse number 24, maybe the most famous parable of all, we have the parable of a son and a father. Now this son, he wasn't like the sheep and he wasn't like the coin. He was lost by the choice that he made. He made his choices, and then his choices made him. You see, when it came to this son, his timing was off. No doubt he was a son of a father, and he no doubt had an inheritance coming to him, but he got out of step, his timing got off, and instead of waiting on what God had for him, he went to the father ahead of time and said, give me what I've got coming to me. Now, he was a son by his birth, but let me say this, he was a sinner by his nature. He chose to leave where he didn't have to leave. In other words, the sheep was lost in the desert. The coin was lost in the dirt, but the son was lost because of the distress he brought into his own life. I realize tonight we're living in the days of lost things. No doubt we have lost things in the world that we go out into every day. You may be sitting here tonight and have some lost things or people in your families tonight. And I do realize this, our churches are no doubt filled with lost things tonight. Luke chapter 15 is not only a picture in this parable of the lostness of humanity, but I believe it's a great picture of the Trinity that's found in salvation or rescue. What does something lost need? It needs to be found. What does something lost need? It needs to be rescued. And so I've got good news for you tonight. Wherever you may be lost, however you may be lost, heaven's got a search party tonight. Amen. There is a heavenly search party that specializes in finding and rescuing lost things. The Trinity in salvation. When I say Trinity, our mind automatically goes to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Steve, I'm proud you're here. I need you to explain that to me. How can three persons be one God? How can three personalities be one God? Brother Steve, I've always had a little trouble with that. Let me be clear to you right now. If I could explain the Trinity to you, I would be part of the Trinity. But I will try to give you something to maybe help you get wrapped around it tonight. We do serve one God who manifests himself in three persons. Now let me say this, all three persons are of equal value. It takes all three to make one, amen. You can't have God, the Muslim world needs to know, without Jesus. You can't have God without the Holy Spirit. You can't have the Holy Spirit and not have Jesus. Oh no, all three are one. You say, Brother Steve, I just don't see how God can be three in one. Well, the way my old mind just looks at it, let me say this right here. There's a woman tonight in Ecru, Mississippi. She has no problem calling me her son. There's a woman tonight in Maude, Texas, sitting on the back row. She has no problem calling me her husband. There's a young man tonight in Flowood, Mississippi. He has no problem calling me his daddy. In other words, if me, in the sinful, unperfect condition I'm in, if I can be three different things to three different people, hey, I'm telling you right now, it ain't no problem for God to be three in one. Wow. Oh, it'll get better. Just hang around, amen. Heaven's search party. The Trinity at work in salvation or rescue. And let me say something about the Trinity. They work so well together. Amen. Oh yes, God the Father, he planned my salvation. God the Son, he purchased my salvation. And God the Holy Spirit, he performed my salvation. Luke chapter 15, in these three parables, I see three manifestations of God. In other words, as Jesus sat there with these publicans and with these sinners, as he sat there surrounded by these Pharisees that hated him, Jesus realized there's a lot of lostness right here. There's a lot that needs to be rescued right here. And boy, he enters into these three great messages or these three parables. He dealt first with that first manifestation in the parable of the lost sheep. He really dealt with that shepherd and the sheep. And I see each manifestation of the Godhead. In the shepherd, I see the Son who searches for the lost sheep. Boy, he is the good shepherd. John chapter number 10 tells us that. Turn over to John chapter number 10. Boy, this discourse that Jesus makes about him being the good shepherd. You ought to have John chapter number 10 highlighted in your Bible. It'll help you out with the devil. It'll run him off. It'll help you out with a lost world that's defeating you. John chapter number 10 not only tells us what we are, but who we are in him. In John chapter number 10, this is Jesus talking about who he is, the good shepherd. In verse number 4, he says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." What are you saying, Brother Steve? Oh, I thank God when I get to the place that I need rescued, when I get away from the shepherd because I'm dumb, because I'm distracted, and when I realize I'm not where I ought to be, I don't have to worry about getting myself back to him. Thank God he'll come looking for me. And when he comes looking, it'll always be with his voice. It'll always come with a call. What did Jesus say? He said, "My sheep know my voice." He said, a strange voice. He said, man, it'll put them in high gear. It'll scare them. A strange voice. I'm amazed at some of the voices people are responding to today. Oh, if you want to know tonight whether you really belong to him or not, whose voice are you following tonight? And when you realize you've got out of the fold and you're away from the shepherd and you don't know how to get back, I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You'll listen for his voice. One of the spiritual men that God put in my life was a man named Joe Tudor. Joe Tudor was a man who had a real impact on my life when I was a young Christian. And Brother Joe went to the Holy Land back in the 70s. He went to the Holy Land back in the 70s, and the restrictions wasn't so heavy then. You could go more places than you can go now, and things like that. You could interact with the people a lot easier than you can now. And Brother Joe Tudor told me he was in the Holy Land in the early 70s, and he said our guide had carried us out one day. We was outside a little village there, and he said I want to take y'all and show y'all some shepherds working their sheep. And Brother Joe said, we set up on a hill above a watering hole. Said there was a watering tank down there. And he said, man, right about a little before dark, said I looked, and coming this way, there come a shepherd. Said he had about 100 sheep. And coming this way, come a shepherd, had about 100 sheep. And coming this way, had a shepherd, had about 100 sheep. And he said, man, got down there, said all them sheep, said, man, they got to getting in that tank, and they got to drinking. And he said, they was sheep everywhere. And said, them shepherds just kind of gravitated over to, you know how us shepherds do, amen. We get around one another, we'll talk, amen. Right. And Brother Joe said, I was sitting there thinking, man, this is going to be mass chaos. What in the world are they going to do? All these sheep's mixed up. What are they going to do? He said, I asked my guide. I said, hey, man, said, how in the world are they fixing to get all them sheep back where they're supposed to be? Said my guide, said, that's what I brought you up here for. Just watch you. He said, them three shepherds, let them sheep get all their fill of water. He said, one of them had come from that way. He walked back out of way. Said he got on top of the hill. Said he went, ooh, ooh. He said, they was 300 sheep, but didn't but 100 of them raise their head. Said them 100 that come with that shepherd, said they made out for the shepherd. He said that, and it come from that way. He went on the top of the hill, and he went, woo-wee, woo-wee. Said them other 100 throwed their head up, said they went to the shepherd. Said that last 100, said they was just got to looking around. They knew when them other shepherds had called that them sheep went, but they didn't go where they wasn't supposed to go. They had a voice that was keyed into their shepherd. A lot of folks blame the devil for everything. I blame me for most of my troubles. I'm amazed at some of the voices I'll go running to. And what I need to do is just stay where I am till I recognize my shepherd's voice. Because when he calls me, he's going to lead me to the place of green pasture. I heard Joe Tudor tell that. I heard him preach it. Brother Skeet, I'd always say, God, I'd love to go over there someday and you give me a story like that. So 2 years ago, man, my church sent me to the Holy Land. And it's a little more strict now, places you can go, but boy, I saw. It just makes the Word of God come alive. I know it cost a lot, but I'm telling you what, it's one of the greatest investments spiritually you'll ever make in your life. To go to those places. And the day they carried us, Brother Joe, they carried us to the valley of the shadow of death where David would have wrote the 23rd Psalm. And it's between Jerusalem and Jericho. And it's a valley that is so deep that the sun don't never reach the bottom. It stays dark. The sun don't never get to it. It's so deep. And the day we were there, Brother David, we were standing above that. We were standing above that valley of the shadow of death. And, of course, we were taking pictures. And man, it just looked like a desolate hillside over there. And a lady that was with us, she had a camera, had that zoom lens on it. And she started hollering, "A shepherd! A shepherd!" And we looked, and Brother Jared, there that shepherd was. We saw him walk up over the hill. We didn't even know he had been there, but he had been there. He walked up over the hill and he had a staff and he was leaning on that staff and he was so far away I couldn't hear him. But I seen him lay his head back and holler, and all of a sudden I looked and the sheep went to coming out of that valley. See, I couldn't see them, but he could. I didn't know they was there, but he did. Brother Shannon and Brandy, I'm telling you tonight, if you can hear me, you may feel like you're in a dark place. Honey, I might not can see you right now, but the shepherd's got his eye on you. Yeah. 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 And all around this building tonight, there's evidence of where they's in some dark, deep, depressing places. When men didn't have you a word, but God sent you a word. Amen. He called you up. He led you out. Oh, yeah, Jesus is the answer. Boy, He's the answer for wasted lives.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.